Oh, the places I could go with today's first reading from Exodus. There are so many questions I could ask about our modern day idols. What nouns, what people and places and things do we place above our relationship with God? Whether as individuals or as a congregation or even as a country, what do we place at a higher priority than God? Than our relationship with God. I'm going to restrain myself and refrain from asking those questions, even though I think they're really good questions. But instead of focusing on those hard but good questions about idolatry, I want to take a look at what happens at the end of the reading from Exodus. The scene is probably familiar to any of us here who have seen the Cecil B. DeMille version of the Ten Commandments. After Aaron makes a mess and casts a golden idol, God is seriously ticked off. Understandably. God has just saved the nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt. God has just led the people from a long period of enslavement into a new existence of liberation. God has also seen the people forget that God-given freedom. God calls the nation of Israel stiff-necked people and accuses them of forgetting the divine goodness. God is seriously ticked off. Again, understandably, God has made a decision. God has decided to let the divine wrath burn against the forgetful and idolatrous nation of Israel. But my favorite word in all of theology, here comes Moses. But here comes Moses, who has been on the mountain with God for a long time, receiving the divine laws that will guide the feet of those chosen people. But Moses implored God, trying to change God's mind. And it works. The author records that God's mind is changed by Moses' intervention. The whole situation the Israelites found themselves in was going in one dangerous direction when the situation is turned around because of the intervention of Moses. The people's lives are changed and saved because Moses stood between God and the nation of Israel. We're reminded of this story in this psalm we've just read. Psalm 106 retells the story of God's anger at the Israelites' idolatry. We hear that Israel forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. We are reminded of God's saving deeds and the liberation of those chosen people, but in the same breath, we're reminded of their descent into idolatry. The psalmist remembers powerfully that God would have destroyed the nation of Israel for the ways they had forgotten God's role in their liberation and exodus from Egypt. God's destruction seemed inevitable. But God's anger is turned away because Moses stood in the breach. That's the phrase that shows up in our psalm today. Moses, God's chosen leader, stood between God and the nation of Israel. Moses, who was God's chosen leader, by Moses' intervention, changes God's mind from destruction. Moses, who is God's chosen leader, stands in the breach and keeps God from consuming the idolatrous people with punishment. As Christians, this might sound like sort of a familiar story. We can probably identify with parts of the Israelite story. At some point in our past, there may have been experiences of slavery, probably not physical, but maybe spiritual or emotional. Things may have seemed helpless and hopeless. There may not have seemed to be an escape from that spiritual or emotional bondage we found ourselves in. Like the Israelite situation while they were in Egypt, there seemed to be no way out. And hopefully many of us can tell stories of God's powerful movement in our lives. Maybe not something as dramatic as the parting of the Red Sea or physical liberation from physical slavery, but many of us, I believe, have experienced God's powerful actions in our lives. How often, though, after finding help from God's heart, do we fall into some form of idolatry? Even when we're aware of all that God has done in our lives, how often do we find ourselves putting something else above God? Even when we are grateful for all that God has done in our lives, how often do we still find ourselves putting something above God? I imagine that there is little in this world that hurts God so much as idolatry. As much as human forgetfulness for God's movement in our lives. After all, isn't that what's really at the root of all sin? A willingness to place something else above God, in God's place? But then there is another sort of intervention. Someone stands in the gap between God and us, just as Moses, God's chosen leader, stands between God's wrath and the sinful people of Israel, so too does Jesus, God's own Son, come to stand between God's wrath and the sinful people of this world. Again, to use that phrase from the Psalm, Jesus stands in the breach, that terrifying distance between God and the people of the world. Just as Moses changed God's mind, Jesus' birth and life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension, in some ways, changed God's mind. Moses, who was God's chosen leader, intervenes for the nation of Israel, even in the face of the Israelites' rampant sin and idolatry. Moses, God's chosen leader, convinces God to practice mercy. Again, even in the face of the Israelites' rampant sin and idolatry, Moses, God's chosen leader, changes God's mind away from punishment into a spirit of forgiveness, always in the face of the Israelites' rampant sin and idolatry. In the same way, Jesus, God's own Son, intervenes for the sinful people of this world, even in the face of our own rampant sin and idolatry. In the same way, Jesus, God's own Son, convinces God to practice divine mercy, even in the face of our own sin and idolatry. In the same way, Jesus, who is God's own Son, changes God's mind away from punishment into a spirit of forgiveness, even in the face of our own rampant sin and idolatry. So I'm back to wanting to ask questions, those hard questions about idolatry. What nouns, what people, places, and things do we place before our relationship with God? What do we risk our relationship with God for? Maybe our idolatry doesn't take the shape of a golden calf, but surely there are things in each of our lives that we allow to get in our way of being truly devoted to God at all times. The good news to hear today is that someone comes to stand in the breach between us and God's anger. No matter what it is that stands in our way of complete and constant devotion to God, someone comes to stand in the breach between us and God's anger. And that person is Jesus Christ. And for Christ's saving birth, life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension, we give thanks. Amen.